We're going to start today by calling Terry out. Tap timer to stop. I don't know what that is. Terry's bitching out today, folks.
Terry, you son of a gun.
And so Tyler's here in his stead.
That's right.
Although, Tyler would have been here no matter what.
This is true.
Whether or not Terry had bitched out.
Because I've been having fun on Sundays.
So hopefully Terry will hear just the first part of this, and he will know that he is a bitch. And then Tyler is fixing his arm because it's Terry's arm.
Mm-hmm. Are these apples? Like, they're communal apples?
Yeah.
Oh, dope.
I had a bunch of apples in the fridge that I needed to cut up before they got...
Those are good apples.
Honeycrisp, doggy.
Yep. Those are the ones, yeah.
I bought more today at the store this morning, and then I realized that I still had like a bunch in the fridge, and so I cut them all up so I would eat them so they don't like go bad. All right, Formula One first.
I will be right back because this chair is like
way too low.
Too dang short.
Yep, okay. All right, folks. Since Terry's not here today, I will start by reviewing our F1 results for Saudi Arabia. And let me see. This is our first bet of the year, and Terry's not even here to see who got it. So Max, Perez, I think I might win this. Leclerc was third, which I had. Sainz didn't even race. That's funny. Poor Terry. Lando, no. Hamilton, no. Hamilton, fifth. So I had Max, Checo, Leclerc, Sainz, Hamilton. Terry had Max, Checo, Sainz, Lando, Hamilton. And Terry got two and I got three right because Leclerc clutched up for me in third place. So I win $10. Yay me. He's not even here for
you
me.
You really won $10? You guys bet?
We're betting $10 every single race.
Wow.
We pick the top five placements we think it's going to be. And then whoever gets more correct out of that top five.
When you guys have like a good bucks. Knowledge to where you can like make like somewhat like feasible predictions.
I got three out of five right.
Dang. Wow. How many races are there going to be here?
24 this season.
So you could make like $240.
Well, we have multiple bets. So on the wall behind you, we have two pieces of paper.
Oh my gosh.
So one, you haven't been on since Formula One started back up, have you?
No.
So this year we're doing a bet similar to what we did last year. I think maybe we're betting more money. I can't remember. Hmm. So one of the bets is what will the team standings look like at the end of the year?
Okay.
And then what will the driver standings, the top five overall driver standings be for the end at the end of the year?
Okay.
Championship. And then every single race, we're betting top five drivers for that race specifically. And that'll change, you know, depending on the track and all that. So
wow. This is like...
So $10 per race.
Yeah.
And then I think, I can't remember, $150, maybe $300 total for those ones. I can't remember. I can't see. I think it's like 150 for the team and then 150 or something for the driver. So
okay.
A total of like 500, $600 over the whole year is up
for Formula One.
It's like fantasy football. Yeah, but it's just between homies.
Right.
Not on some
fancy
pot.
Which is way better.
Correct. But the idea would be that we trade off winning each race maybe. So like who knows who will come out ahead there, but
sure.
We'll see. And our actual predictions are pretty similar on that. Because we both know who the best teams are.
Well, then you're right.
We only have one difference in our bet for the team standings. So it comes down to like whether or not McLaren does better or Mercedes does better at the end of the year in terms of who wins $150 for that one.
Yeah, that's cool.
We wanted to bet more this year because it wasn't as exciting last year.
Yeah.
All right. Suck on that, Terry. You lose round one. I guess it's round two because we didn't bet on round one. I need to text him about predictions for the next race. Huh. Oh, we can do it next week because there's no race next week. Cool.
Okay.
So, unfortunately, I only get to talk about F1 for 5 minutes. That sucks.
Because I don't know anything about it.
No. All right. What do you want to talk about today?
Well,
did you watch the State of the Union?
I did. What did you think of that?
Did I watch it? I didn't watch it.
I watched most of it.
What was I watching? I was watching something where people were watching it and commentating over it. Oh, I watched Tucker Carlson's.
Oh, the 20-minute thing he did.
The thing at the end of it. Yeah, yeah. I watched that. Oh, no, he had some guy on and then Alex Jones on.
Oh, I didn't see any of that. Oh. I didn't watch the Alex Jones bit. I thought that was reused clip from. Is that new?
I don't know. Huh. I just went to his website. Tucker Carlson Network.
Yeah.
Afterwards, because he had something on YouTube, but it wasn't the whole thing.
Tucker Carlson is the new Pat Buchanan, but like way more popular and refusing to run for office.
Yeah. Good. That's an interesting way to describe it.
I don't know. It's just kind of how I think of him, you know?
I would say that's an accurate assessment, but I don't think I would have used Pat Buchanan as the comparison.
Sure.
Because he's way more popular. You know, he's like kind of mainstream in that sense.
Right. He's just kind of like, at least in my mind, you know, because I am as familiar with Pat Buchanan as I am with Tucker Carlson. So
which
in my
is
mind,
not
he's
the
new one, right?
Yeah,
so,
not
the
norm.
But for most people, they don't even know what I'm talking, you know.
Correct.
Okay. I guess, you know, most people like, you know, dad's age and even my mom's age, 30s, 40s, remember his presidential run. So they know that.
Yeah.
When I say Pat Buchanan, they're like, oh, Pat Buchanan.
But he never got the nomination, Pat Buchanan.
No, sadly. So imagine how we would be off right now.
Unless you're like, a super nerd, you wouldn't even know about his thing. Like
no.
If you were a political nerd.
I've only read one of his books.
Pat Buchanan?
Yeah, Death of the West. You actually go to his website, huh?
Well, that's where his videos.
Are you a subscriber?
No.
Okay.
He has a lot of shit for free.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
The only
thing I wanted to see was his like Russia stuff that you couldn't see unless you had a member access, like when he was walking around Moscow.
Oh, I just watched the interview for free. He had the interview up for free. So he doesn't post it on YouTube, but he posts, I believe, on Twitter or X or whatever.
Okay.
That's where he posts his videos, but I don't like anymore going on Twitter. I tried not to because I don't have it on my phone.
Twitter's the one social media app that I figured you would like.
That's the only one I was using. But then I was like, but why am I even on here anyway?
Yeah, for sure.
And the problem was I was like, oh, I deleted all this crap off my phone and I still had Twitter on there. And I was like, oh, well, I'm a hypocrite because it's still the same bullshit.
Right, right.
I did have it last, but now
it's better because you have to read the entire time.
But
right?
I just found myself scrolling and I was like, you son of a bitch. So I deleted it off my phone. And so I have to go on my computer and log in if I want to. And I figure I might as well, instead of seeing his video on Twitter, I might as well just go to his website if I'm on my computer anyway.
Yeah.
So that's what I did.
Yeah.
But anyway, he had a response with a couple people. It was like an hour long.
Oh, I need to watch this.
It was Victor Davis Hanson. For a little bit.
I have one of his books.
And then Alex Jones came on, was in his like little studio at the end for like 25
minutes. How do you feel about Alex Jones?
I love Alex Jones.
You do?
I fucking love him.
All right. And like, if that's the case, I got a video for us.
He is an absolute treasure on this planet.
Yeah.
And a lot of people might feel weird hearing that. Like they think he's kind of a weirdo or like crazy,
bad
person.
What about the Sandy Hook stuff?
When I say I love Alex Jones, what I mean is he is mostly right about a lot of things and he's absolutely hilarious. And I value that more than pretty much anything.
Right.
So that's when I say I love Alex Jones. He's amazing. One, he's right on pretty much everything. And two, he's just entertaining as all shit.
For sure.
And that to me is good enough.
Okay. I got our first clip then.
Okay. You have an Alex Jones.
Yeah.
Anyway, I watched this. Okay. After the thing. But I didn't actually watch the whole thing.
State
Biden.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I watched the first 20 minutes and then I had to go to teach a swim lesson at Peninsula High School.
I turned it on and maybe it was the Tim Pool thing.
Oh, you watch Tim Pool? I will do that sometimes.
I think I maybe just turned it on his thing because they had Dave Smith on as the guest. No, they didn't.
Oh, really?
No, they didn't. Who'd they have?
The Freedom Tunes guy.
No.
Well, he's always on there.
They had someone else. They had Dave Smith on for a live stream of the Super Tuesday last Tuesday. But it was somebody else. Anyway, I just had it on the background. And I turned it on at whatever time. And it was just like they weren't starting it. They were
the
like,
State of the Union?
It was late. And I just got tired of it until I turned it off.
Right. Well, Biden took 20 minutes to walk to the podium.
No. Well, they were late. And then he took 20 minutes to walk to the podium.
Okay.
So it just like... I stopped watching.
Did you see the Tucker was responding though with the, it was like the MSNBC commentary and the guy was like, you know, this is kind of a hot take, but Joe Biden is really good at politics. And I was like, motherfucker.
That was a clip in here that I caught.
Yeah, yeah, it was really funny.
The only actual clips I caught were in like responses because I didn't catch the actual thing.
Right.
Because I was tired of it.
See, the first 20 minutes is what I watched to begin with. And that was just Biden shaking hands. So I just honestly, what I enjoyed more than the actual State of the Union was watching like all of these grubby old politicians like talk to each other.
Yeah.
Like I really enjoyed that. It was like Joe Biden.
You can't, you know. All you do is see stuff though.
Yeah.
Here. There was like a...
They all wear makeup though. All the men.
It's weird.
Yeah. Which makes you realize that it's all one big show, right? Because that's the only reason you would.
Yeah. Of course it is. I'm trying to find... There's Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Oh, yeah. She was
yelling
great.
At him.
Yeah, that was beautiful. You know Michael Knowles, right?
I do know who that is.
He was there. He was invited. He was like a guest of one of the congressmen.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And
you can just go as a guest?
Yeah. So you have a congressperson can invite like somebody. I think is how it works. And he's in with some of the people. And so at one point, Biden goes, you know, Trump overturned Roe v. Wade. And there's like, you can hear in like the audio recording, like there's like a single clap, like person like, clapping in the back. There's like one person knows him.
That's funny.
And he was like, that was my contribution to the 2024 State of the Union.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find, I want like a highlight clip just to play. Seven highlights.
President Biden delivering a feisty and animated.
Feisty and animated. He was yelling a lot.
State of the Union address tonight. Probably one of the most political addresses I have ever heard before a joint chamber at this time, drawing a sharp contrast with Republicans. And while he...
You know how he shakes everyone's hand coming in? Do you think he even knows who they all are?
I think a lot of them, because he's been in the game for so long and they've all aged with him.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
I think
it's like all
it's
his
like
old
his
friends.
Home,
okay.
Know?
Okay.
He did not mention Donald Trump's name. He referred to his predecessor more than a dozen times, taunting Republicans at times.
In January 1941, Franklin Roosevelt came to this chamber to speak to the nation. And he said, I address you at a moment unprecedented in the history of the Union. Hitler was on the march. War was raging in Europe. President Roosevelt's purpose was to wake up Congress and alert the American people.
Isn't it interesting how he's always squinting? Like he's like there's sun in his eyes or something?
Yep.
And he slurred a lot too.
I thought it was also fitting that he brought up Roosevelt as his first like talking point. That was the first thing he said, I think, was like Roosevelt.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, Roosevelt.
Bad guy.
Roosevelt's like this the political predecessor for all the Democratic like and Republican presidents of the, like the 21st century. Like Bush and Obama and Biden.
Well, that really goes back to Woodrow Wilson.
That's
true. Like the beginning of the shitty people. But
right. But after World War II, we more or less went back to how it should have been. And then after World War One, we went back more or less to how it was before World War
One. Oh, in some ways, maybe.
Roosevelt,
in some ways,
things kind of stayed the same.
Yeah, that's true.
Ordinary time.
No, but what I did catch, maybe it was on the Tim Pool thing where I turned it back on after they came back live with him talking and they were like writing down all his slurs and like you actually could pick up like where he slurred his words.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was hilarious.
They were like marking down.
Oh, yeah.
Did they like bet on how many times?
No, I don't, they may have. But okay. I think they were just noting it.
Tonight,
I'll try to find that.
I come to this same chamber to address the nation. Now it's we who face an unprecedented moment in the history of the Union. And yes, my purpose tonight is to wake up the Congress and alert the American people that this is no ordinary moment either.
It's on Sky News Australia. They're like the most right-wing channel
they
ever.
They are, though. Like, I see them a lot.
They love Trump and they hate Biden. It's so
hilarious.
Here we go. Let's see if they're slurring.
Let's move on to get some of the...
It's this guy, yeah.
Republican reaction to the speech with former White House Chief of Staff and Senior Advisor of Bondi Partners, Mick Mulvaney, and also his reaction to Biden's State of the Union address. Mick, first of all, what did you think of how Joe Biden did tonight? He certainly held it together more than I think a lot of his critics expected.
Yeah, James, here's Democrats
skip around.
The last 35 seconds, 45 seconds was a really good close to the speech. That being said, the Republicans will be quick to point out that throughout the speech, Biden's speech was slurred. He had difficulty communicating and following along the text. I actually had the text available to me. The White House puts it out. And so I was able
I thought the Republican response was like pathetic.
Nobody cares. I didn't even know who did it or. Oh, there's no.
It was
actually,
a woman.
Oh, it was. Was it this lady?
No.
That's somebody else.
No, go back, middle.
Was it the chick in the green?
That lady, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who's this?
My American dream.
I was like, fuck. Like, she's in a kitchen. Like, they're trying to, like, appeal to, like, the suburban housewife or something.
Who is she? Oh, she's a U.S. senator?
Yeah.
I had never heard of her.
I've never seen this face before.
No.
No.
Katie Britt, U.S. senator. Mm-hmm. Huh.
No, and love
Wait,
seems
let me.
Little of what she had. I believe is the youngest Republican woman ever elected to the Senate.
Wow.
Here's a little of what she had to say.
The country we know and love seems to be slipping away, and it feels like the next generation
nice touch with the cross.
Fewer opportunities and less freedoms than we did. I worry my own children may not
even I'm a Christian housewife.
Get a shot at living their American dreams. My American dream allowed me.
Vote like Trump.
Doesn't that just
Vote
like
Trump?
Doesn't this just like hurt
a
you a little
cringy.
Bit inside?
It's a little cringy.
Yeah. Prize, Alabama. To be elected to the United States.
Oh, Alabama. Okay, cool.
Senate at the age of 40. The true
How sad is it that as a country, that's like the youngest senator ever is 40 or something? A Republican senator? Because Joe Biden was like 29 or something when he got in the Senate.
Was he really?
He was stupid young, 30
Dang.
Or something. Yeah.
Varnished state of our union begins and ends with this. Our families are hurting.
Wow. Nice act.
She's really into it, yeah.
Can do better.
I'm just not convinced by that. Like,
no,
I don't know.
Well, it's just transparently fake.
Mm-hmm.
So that's she's not good
at it. I thought
the
best Republican response was
it's not good. She's
a while
good
back when, what's his face? The black guy, Tim Scott, did it. That felt pretty good.
Oh, I don't normally watch the... I don't normally watch... Ah, give me the slurs.
You need to look up funny State of the Union moments.
Joe Biden slur. State of the Union. Key moments.
Look up funny. Put funny in the search bar.
Feisty. Why?
Like funnies.
Huh. 6 days ago? No. It needs to be State of the Union. Funny.
There we go.
No.
That's the wrong State of the Union.
4 minute deliver State of the Union.
Has nobody assembled?
I know, like, it's sad. Has nobody jumped on this? They're probably on like TikTok or something. Ah, who cares? Confronts Joe Biden. I don't know, maybe there's some things. Yeah.
Mr. Speaker,
yeah,
the
Mr.
purpose was to wake up Congress and alert the American people that this was no ordinary time.
Yeah.
Overseas, Putin of Russia is on the march, invading Ukraine and sowing chaos throughout Europe and beyond. If anybody in this room thinks Putin will stop at Ukraine, I assure you he will not.
It's like he just says that.
Like it's a fact.
Yeah. I was like, but you're incorrect.
Like,
Ukraine can stop Putin if we stand with Ukraine and provide the weapons.
I was in Cutter's Point yesterday, and there was the Wall Street Journal like a newspaper copy on the table. So I actually got to pick up a copy
for
the
Wall
Street Journal.
That wow, had you're like so
Biden
prestigious.
On the front.
You're so prestigious.
It was like the State of the Union covered. And I got to read that a little bit.
What were they saying?
January 6th.
Oh, just giving summary.
Just the, yeah.
Let's send all the money to Ukraine.
Biden was talking about Republicans and January 6th and Ukraine. Yeah. And it was
democracy.
Basically democracy. Yeah. Yep.
Putin, quote, do whatever the hell you want. That's a quote.
That's a quote.
The former president actually said that. Homes destroyed, neighbors and
like, how many times do you think they had to like drill it in him? You cannot say Trump.
I know.
You are not allowed to say Trump. Because he did it.
No.
But he, Every instinct, every bone in his body must be like wanting to say Trump, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. Joe Biden's, I'm going to try to find this State of the Union slurring. I'm just not going to look on YouTube. Los Angeles Times.
Anyway, so after reading like Garrett Corret for the last month, and familiarizing myself with all that again, like seeing the opening of the State of the Union with like all the bright lights and like, you know, the showroom vibe, basically, I was like, oh my gosh, like what a manifestation of the executive principle, like in real life. It's like you just realize that like it's all come true. Like everything they talked about like 80 years ago that would happen.
Oh, the president just being
like de facto dictator.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because that was the concern when Roosevelt was, you know, passing Lend-Lease and all those things and accumulating power.
Well, obviously they were right. Yeah. Obviously the people back then who were like right-wingers who opposed like the New Deal and all that were
And they were all correct. Like every single thing they said was correct. And then just like watching the opening of the State of the Union address, and it's like...
I can't find anything. Know. That's sad.
The United States and the leading international efforts to get...
Lasting ceasefire now.
Look at how unhappy they are.
These are the anti-war in Gaza people in the Democrat Party, which I actually agree like with.
The squad types.
That's Rashida Tlaib, I think. Mm-hmm. And I don't know who that is.
More humanitarian assistance to Gaza. Tonight, I'm directing the U.S. military to lead an emergency mission to...
They're going to go build a pier in the Mediterranean Sea off of Gaza.
How about we stop? How about that?
Yeah, how about we just stop?
Yeah.
Establish a temporary pier in the Mediterranean on the coast of Gaza that can receive large shipments carrying food, water, medicine, and temporary shelters. No U.S. boots will be on the ground.
That's what they said in World War II.
Enable a massive increase in the amount of humanitarian assistance getting into Gaza every day.
Measures short of war. That was the slogan going up to World War II.
Yeah.
Everything short of war. We will not send your boys to Europe. What do you think happened? They sent the boys to Europe.
Spoiler alert.
My team began serious negotiations with the
They're not going to give slurring. That sucks. I don't know how to find it. It was really funny.
Did you see a video that was...
I just heard him slur live on the Timcast stream.
Mm-hmm.
And they were noting it.
Maybe it's too early. Nobody's finished assembling the
people
clips. People should be
they're
on
just
this,
maybe not on YouTube.
You should look on...
Oh, you know what? In Tucker's
good evening
video,
and welcome.
Oh boy. he played a couple. Let me play these. I can find them in the thing. Here we go.
United States of America. Here's how he responded as Joe Biden told the country that the invasion of Ukraine is his top priority. Watch this.
Overseas, Putin of Russia is on the march, invading Ukraine and sowing chaos throughout Europe and beyond. If anybody in this room thinks Putin will stop at Ukraine, I assure you he will not.
Like, he just says that.
I know.
And they all clap. It's like, okay. Foreign policy establishment. Ukraine. Like, see, I hate how he nodded to that, though.
He nodded to a lot of shit.
Like, everything
He's
nodded
just
to.
A little bitch, though.
But he was, like, so good
do you
on
know
some things.
Do you want to know something funny?
What?
I'm going to play something for you. It's a little clip. Or it's not a clip, it's a noise clip I have saved on my computer. Stand by. It's great. It's worth it. All right, here we go.
Yeah.
So that's a lady saying yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know who that lady is?
Condoleezza Rice.
His wife.
Really? That's Biden?
No, it's his wife. Mike Johnson's wife.
How'd you find this?
I'm a magician.
Yeah.
You,
I know. He was doing like an interview with her, and they were talking about stuff. Oh, no, that was it. So him and his wife have a podcast. That was it.
They do.
They do, and really? They just talk about shit. And that clip was a clip from somebody clipping their podcast that I saw, and I clipped that because it was hilarious.
Power couple, eh?
Yeah.
Stop Putin. Ukraine.
Let's see if this is the one. A lot of clapping. Sorry, folks. Look at him. Look at him.
Okay. Okay, so with the clapping, I was curious though, like, is it just because they were so enthused with what he was saying, or is it a political strategy? So either it's a political strategy. I mean, either way it is.
Clapping.
So either all the clapping is to, you know, make the American people feel this sense of unity and like, you know, we're standing for something, or was it like a strategy to give him enough time between saying things to like catch his breath?
Do you think? Just the same as it always is. Mm-hmm. Your side claps when you say shit and your side doesn't.
But like,
it's nothing to do with strategy.
I know.
It's always like this.
For sure. You're correct, but I just like in my mind, it'd be funny if like there's like some guys in the back room like, okay, so guys, make sure you clap for at least 10 seconds so Joe can like hit the teleprompter again. Like,
they don't need that. It's always the same.
Clearly.
All the white suits.
Bragging about overturning Roe v. Wade have no clue about the power of women, but they found out. When reproductive freedom was on the ballot, we won in 2022 and 2020, and we'll win again in 2024.
We won in 2022 and 2020.
Oh, well, you can't have a safe, clean country or groceries you can afford or schools that will educate your children, but you can't have abortion. You can have a lot more abortion.
Tucker's too good at this.
I know. He's so good at this.
Make you happy and free. You can have all the abortions you want. But of course, you already could have all the abortions you want.
Not really.
That's Marjorie Taylor Greene.
I think it'll be smarter than mine. Of the signature moment of the night, which was Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia confronting Joe Biden as he spoke. And here's what happened next.
I'd be a winner. Not really.
Oh, this is bad. This is a bad moment.
Lincoln Riley.
First of all.
Oh, dang.
First of all, only Marjorie Taylor Greene can pull off a MAGA hat while wearing like fancy attire.
Yeah,
like that's something you shouldn't do.
An innocent young woman who was killed by an illegal.
Oh, so I saw there were a lot of people on Twitter who were like, bro, Biden went fascist mode. He called like the person an illegal because he said like an illegal killed a child. They were like Biden fascist mode. All the people on the left were like mad that he said that.
Yeah. Well, he wants to get a little more moderate.
Like when I hear him say that,
he realizes how many people hate the fact that people are getting murdered by people coming across the
border. When I hear Biden say like this child was killed by an illegal, it like pulls in my heart a little bit. Like
here's
Biden called him an illegal.
Here's the good one right here. The one you probably talked about.
Mention it. You're the racist. Okay, got it. But I don't think I've ever seen it on clearer display than in a now sort of famous MSNBC segment from last week. I hate to even play their garbage, but this is just so amazing. I have to play it for you.
Why are white rural voters a threat to democracy at this point? You would think, as we pointed out, looking at Joe Biden's background and Donald Trump's, that the opposite would be true.
I mean, we lay out the fourfold interconnected threat that white rural voters pose to the country. First of all,
whoa,
we show 30 polls and national studies to demonstrate this. So we provide the receipts in Chapter 6.
Well, the receipts.
They're the most racist, xenophobic, anti-immigrant, and anti-gay geodemographic group in the country. Second, they're the most conspiracist group. QAnon supporters, election.
Shout out
they're
to white rural voters.
Denialism, COVID denialism, and scientific skepticism. Obama birtherism. Third, anti-democratic sentiments.
Oh, no.
They don't believe in an independent press. Free.
They sound like people that I might like.
Speech. They're most likely to say the president should be able to act unilaterally without any checks from Congress or the courts or their bureaucracy. They're also the most strongly white nationalist and white Christian nationalist. And fourth, they are most likely
white nationalist and white Christian nationalist.
Mm-hmm. To excuse or justify violence.
So there's so many things that are interesting about what those two pigs are saying. And the most interesting to me is...
First of all, that's probably how I would characterize it. Just like unimpressive old dudes sitting in an MSNBC studio.
But they're just saying it now. Like, we hate white people.
You're like, who are they? I think one of them wrote a book, like white rural racism or something. The one on the
end.
It
was on the title page.
Yeah.
That white rural voters are, of course, the weakest people in America.
When rural people, period, are the
rural people,
strongest.
Period. That's exactly right, regardless of race. But that none of the supposed crimes that he mentioned, whether they're true or not, are crimes of action. They're all thought crimes. And so they're the most dangerous people in the country, not because they're killing others or embezzling money or getting rich through the carried interest loophole or starting wars, pushing people in front of subway trains. They're the most dangerous.
Dude, I saw something on the news, or I caught something on the internet somewhere. Some dude pushed his girlfriend onto the subway tracks, and like both her feet or something got cut off.
Really?
Or something.
In New York or like,
yeah,
where?
Yeah, I think New York. Like, horrific shit.
Wow.
Like, that's happening a lot. Dang. People are getting pushed in front of subways. Like, what the fuck?
That's not insane. Normal.
Yeah. That is insane. Anyways.
They have thoughts that those two pigs don't like. It's so interesting.
So good. I love how he has absolute contempt. He just doesn't even mince his words. Yeah.
Well, this is the whole key. And of course, what you played, as I know you're a newsman like I am, is just emblematic of all of it. That is the Carnegie Foundation. That's the CIA. That's the liberation theology at the university.
And then he'll just start listing all. It's like, you're correct.
Well, no. And then the thing people need to understand about Alex, and when I say I love Alex Jones, it's shit like this. Mm-hmm. He's just so much smarter than these unimpressive people who shit on him. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, yeah, he's got flaws. He's human.
He's a little bit autistic, maybe.
Yeah,
you know?
Who isn't? Who isn't?
Right.
But it's like, he knows what he's talking about, mm-hmm. and he's right.
I think that sometimes people that are really smart, like, come off as dumb because other people can't comprehend.
He's not civilized. Like, he's not polished. I don't care.
Not white. So they think, well, we'll control these people who are exploiting by making all their ills about rural white people in America. But if you go to rural areas, I don't care if you're black, Hispanic, white, people are all basically populist. They're conservative. They know what's going on. They live on the land.
Hell yeah.
They're not stupid.
And they haven't done anything to anybody. That's the remarkable
thing. They're the lowest crime rate.
Well, yeah, like, what's...
Alex is, like, sweating on his forehead.
Yeah.
Anyway. Well, I tried to find the clips.
I will have to go back and look at all this, though.
Yeah.
You should look at the clip I sent you.
Now. Okay.
Now is the time.
Okay. Now is the time. Strange behavior. This?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to download it. Or not. I don't know what this does.
So now it's hitting parts of your brain that are seeing something new.
Oh, stop.
You can just keep playing it.
Something new. You've seen out.
Wait, is there a llama in his studio?
Okay, just, oh, yeah, yes.
Or is that like a CGI?
For viewer context, there are
alpacas.
There are currently like 3 to 4 alpacas or llamas in Alex Jones' InfoWars studio.
And there's like hay on the ground.
Yeah.
Ranting in the group chat for no reason.
Alex Jones for years tell you fluoride and tell you about Jeffrey Epstein and tell you about the New World Order. And
he's right mm-hmm. about fluoride. Like, he's right about all this shit.
Yeah.
Did you know that before 9/11,
he predicted
on video saying they're going to fly planes into the World Trade Center?
Did he actually say those words?
Yeah, on video. They have it. It's on the internet.
So there are only two possible explanations for that. A, he did it. Or B, he predicted it.
Yeah. No, but that's just the thing. He predicts, he's so far ahead, like fluoride in the water and all this shit and how it's bad.
Yeah.
It's like he was saying that before you were born.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like people like that, they just look crazy.
And now there are studies that show that like there's like fluoride in the water, like lowering your IQ.
They're just right.
Yeah.
Way before you can even fathom it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they seem crazy.
Fish and fusion and artificial black holes and strange superconducting super colliders.
Gliders.
Other systems like systems. Cyclotrons. But you've ignored the
cyclotrons?
I don't know. Start from the beginning.
Me and Terry were talking about neutrinos last week.
What the fuck is a neutrino?
We'll pull it. I'll show you.
Okay.
That because
I love that energy. What mm-hmm. the fuck is a neutrino?
Yeah.
Just all background. But now that I have long.
And bubble chambers. We're talking about bubble chambers.
Yeah.
Now that I have the secret weapon.
Wait.
But you've ignored.
Yeah, I got to play and go back.
Yeah.
And other systems like cyclotrons. But you've ignored that because it's just all background. But now that I have llamas. Now that I have the secret weapon.
Excellent. Shit like that is just why he's a gem.
Yep. I do wish that he'd come off a little bit less crazy, though, so that maybe more of a message could get across. You don't?
I might be. I'm not the normal person. Mm-hmm. So to me, I want more crazy.
For my personal enjoyment, yes.
Yeah, more crazy.
But like as far as, you know, wanting society to revert back to normal.
All right. Let's get you up to speed on neutrinos. What is a neutrino? Oh, here we go.
Oh, I love that, like, infographic, like,
neutrinos are tiny, almost weightless particles that only interact via gravity.
What are we doing right now?
Neutrinos.
Okay.
Okay. Because they don't interact electromagnetically, that is, with light, they literally can't...
Actually, no, I want a better video. But that was a nice short video. Oh, they're all called ghost particles, by the way. Ooh, nice.
Neutrinos are a type of elementary particle.
This is ASMR.
This is better.
With no electric charge and nearly massless.
You know, like, protons have positive charge, electrons have negative charge. Yeah, You've done some of that shit already?
Yeah, I had physics class. Okay. Yeah.
Neutrinos have, like, no charge, but they're not neutrons.
Hmm.
Oh, interesting.
They're all around us.
Why are we watching, like, Chinese dances?
They're all around us. Pay attention.
Tiny quantity of reality.
There's neutrinos going through your body right now.
There's a lot of shit going through my body. Okay. Being.
Trillions and trillions of them produced in the sun's nuclear core zip right through our bodies every second of day buddies. And night without interacting with any of the particles in your body. Luckily, they do no harm and leave no trace.
Luckily.
That's because neutrinos hardly ever interact with other particles. A typical neutrino can traverse the Earth or even a light year's worth of lead without bumping into an atom.
If they hit an electron, though, there's like a flash of light.
Is it like a nuclear?
No.
It's like just a little spark. Flash of light. Can you see it?
You can.
It never happens, though.
They measure this inside giant water chambers inside of mountains where it's completely dark and completely quiet because you can't perceive it anywhere else
in the
world.
This is real?
Yeah.
Is this like a new thing?
No.
Like, why is this like a... Why are there videos on this?
There's like the Super Kamiokande in Japan.
What the...
We learned about it last week.
What am I missing?
I'll pull it up. You missed the science episode.
Interact by gravity and nuclear decay. They travel at near light speeds and are not affected by magnetic fields. Born from violent astrophysical events like exploding stars and gamma ray bursts, they are fantastically abundant in the universe.
Okay, that's enough. Here's the Super Kamiokande. They have multiple ones of these all over the Earth.
If you want to find
a few in Japan, which is where this one is, I
believe. Find the most elusive particles in our universe. The trick isn't to look up, it's to go down. Hiding underneath a mountain in the middle of Japan is a $140 million science experiment. It's hunting for something so tiny, scientists have had to build a massive detector bigger than the Statue of Liberty. But if it's successful, it'll help us...
Those are a bunch of sensors that can actually capture a neutrino flashing with an electron.
So this entire project here
is to
in
watch
a mountain
neutrinos.
Is to see... One, like, phenomena.
Yeah.
And just to document
just
it.
Just to watch neutrinos flying around through water.
Is this funded by the government?
Like, probably.
Okay.
The scientists are hunting for ghost-like particles called neutrinos.
Woo!
We don't actually know what they look like, so this is just our best guess.
A little blob.
That's because they're smaller than an atom and float through almost everything. In fact, there's billions of them passing through you each second. They travel at the speed of light and come from a variety of places. Our own sun makes neutrinos, and so do nuclear reactors. But the ones these scientists are most interested in come from a massive dying star, a supernova 8 times bigger than our sun. We wouldn't exist without supernovae. When they explode, they spread critical elements, including carbon and oxygen, throughout the cosmos.
We would like to understand.
I thought carbon was bad.
Explode and how they work, and the best ways to do that is through their neutrino emissions.
Here we go.
You've got one of these.
Oh,
this
that's dope.
Is the Super Kamiokande. The science from this experiment and the decommissioned one that came.
It's like a massive, super deep, like swimming pool inside of a mountain, basically, that they built.
I would love to go like swimming.
Well,
in
I mean,
that.
It's not like a swimming pool. It's,
I know,
it's more tall.
I would.
It's more like a cylinder more. But
before it, have already won 2 Nobel Prizes. It's normally filled with water, but we've been given access while it's down for maintenance. Lining the walls are thousands upon thousands of gold-hued detectors, each of them larger than a human head. they're the key to spotting a neutrino. Basically, they're light bulbs in reverse. So in a regular light bulb, electricity goes in and light comes out. With one of these detectors, light goes in and electricity comes out.
Here we have 11,000...
Oh, that's the solution for clean energy.
Yeah.
We can absorb neutrinos and make energy.
129 PMT.
Are they going to like take a picture or just like get a little like bump on a graph? Like what's the point? What's the goal? How do they know that they exist if they're like hunting for them?
Water molecule, it creates a minuscule flash and sets off the detectors. This means the water needs an incredible amount of purification and recirculation, which goes on in these pipes. That makes the water corrosive because all of the impurities have been removed, which means when it touches anything that's not water, it tries to suck all the minerals out.
We've dropped things in, it happens when people are working. And one of the interesting things that got dropped in was a chrome-plated hammer.
Since we visited, the tank has now been repaired, re-waterproofed, and some broken light detectors were replaced. But even if this upgraded Super Kamiokande doesn't spot any supernova neutrinos, that's a win for science, too.
Science. Anyway, that's what a Super Kamiokande is. Wow. There's like three of those in Japan.
So have they successfully caught one?
Yeah. They catch neutrinos all the time.
Oh, okay.
Or they measure them.
So
the key is to find a neutrino that came from like a supernova that they're trying to, that they care about. Because like a lot of them come out of...
They can figure out where they came from?
I think so. A lot of them come just out of the sun, like our sun.
Okay.
But I think they're trying to find some...
But those are boring neutrinos.
I guess. So okay. They want the ones that came like from farther away.
Huh.
Aliens. I don't know.
We could have built a road.
I was talking with Terry about this and I was like, imagine all the shit we could do with like all this money that we spend on all this shit.
But that's in Japan. But we pay for Japan. So...
We subsidize a lot of their military.
Yeah. You can go to like a U.S. government website where it's like U.S. Aid, and you can see the dollar amounts we send to other countries, and it's ridiculous.
U.S. aid dollars. Like
U.S.gov. You can do site search.
Results, USAID.gov. Is that what you said?
Maybe. Yeah, this is it.
From the American people, dollars to results. This is it?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
On behalf of the American people,
I know, that's such
we promote and demonstrate
shit.
Democratic values abroad.
Who's we?
And advance a free, peaceful,
Not
and
me.
Prosperous world.
Government and civil society, most the highest sector of spending.
The audacity to write on this website on behalf of the American people.
Yeah.
The audacity.
So what is this? Is this just in the year of 2022?
Fiscal year 2022.
Because these are numbers in millions, not billions. This is billion, but that's got to be per year.
Mm-hmm. You can see by country basis, though.
How do I do that?
Click on
country.
There we go. We give Afghanistan $861 million a year. Oh. Or is that total? I think it's in 2022 alone.
It's got to be per year.
Yeah.
Why do we do this? They don't have their
I don't
own money?
Know these countries. I don't know where they are. I mean, the Central African Republic is probably in
you
Africa.
You don't know where Afghanistan is?
Okay, well, I know where Afghanistan is, but like, what are these? These are all bastions of democracy? No freaking way. I don't believe you.
China. We give $8 million to China. Interesting.
For what? Click on it.
Don't they give us money? Like loans?
It's all fake. It doesn't mean anything. Okay. This is spending. Maybe.
No, this is how much we give.
Oh. Investment mobilized for clean. Oh, we gave them $2.9 million for clean energy.
Yeah, of course. It's nothing. Higher education. Why do we give China anything? They can't do this on their own?
They lend us a lot of money now.
600 people received new or better employment as a result of participation in workforce development programs.
Funded by
General Environmental Protection. 268 hectares of natural resources under improved management. Like, what does that even mean? Under improved management? That's something just like bullshit.
I don't know. It's
some guy who like knows how to manage forests.
Because I was talking to my aunt Jennifer recently, and she, because you know, she works in the oil business down in Texas, and she was talking about how like tight regulations are. So basically, if they drill in Texas, they like drill and there are like a ton of regulations, but when they're done, they basically have to close it and then like plant a tree on top of like the drilling site.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was talking, maybe when I was down there, I was talking to Becca and I was like, tell Jennifer that I said drill, baby, drill. And she's like, oh, she'll love that. I said, give me all the oil. I want the cheapest gas price.
And we're going to burn coal.
I want the cheapest gas prices. Drill, baby. China. Wow. Oh, yeah. So you can check by fiscal year.
Yeah.
2021, 2020.
Ooh, let's look at 2020, COVID year.
Oh, no. Here's a cool thing. Let's look at 2014 in Ukraine. That's when we overthrew their government.
Oh.
Ukraine.
I was talking to a guy in my poli sci class, and he doesn't believe me that we financed a coup or, you know, incited a coup in 2014. He just doesn't believe me. He doesn't think that's real.
Okay. Well, this isn't very much. 2014. Well,
it's a pretty tiny country, too.
86 million.
But
maybe,
yeah, that's not.
Oh, it only goes back to 2014.
Hmm.
Maybe it's like before then. Well, maybe it wasn't that we gave them lots of money. It's that like the CIA was in their country, like facilitating all the riots and the uproaring and all that.
Well, I think it was like a lot of it was through Twitter, was that we somehow, I don't know.
Do you know who Victoria Nuland is?
I do. Yeah. What position did she have? Was she secretary of what?
She was in the State Department under Obama, and she was the lead architect of overthrowing the government. And she's like a terrible person. But
has anybody written a book on the Ukrainian coup of 2014 that I could find?
I do not know. I just like heard lots of podcasts about it and news about it. I don't know about a book.
Or like a really good article, PDF.
Anyway, that's not very much money.
Mm-mm.
But I guess that makes sense.
What about current day?
Current day? Oh, Jesus.
2022, yeah.
Lots. That was 86 million in 2014.
All right, you ready for this?
9 billion.
We gave them more than 9 billion.
No, that's just 2022
alone. What was it for?
Invasion that Russia came in like beginning
2021,
right? Beginning of 2022.
Yeah. So, was it beginning of 2022? Yeah. Okay.
So I think all the big packages started coming in like in 2023 and stuff like that. Yeah. Wait. Oh, it doesn't have monetary numbers here. What the fuck? Hmm. It's just like number of people that we helped.
Yeah. That's an interesting way to frame it.
I wonder why they're omitting that information.
Hmm. Look down wait, bottom right.
Look at spending by sector.
Government, civil society.
All of it went to government so they could buy bombs from our military companies.
We're paying the salaries of like an entire bureaucracy. The Ukrainian government does not exist without us.
Not in its current form.
Negative $49,000 for maternal child health. We gave them negative $49,000.
How can it be negative?
I don't know. These are fake numbers.
They gave us money? Is that what that means? Wow.
How much did we give them for the environment? We gave them $126,000. During a war, we managed to give them $126,000 for environmental
protection. General environmental protection.
Like what even?
We're not too worried about environmental protection while we're dropping bombs. No. That's after. We care about it after. The fact that this even exists, this website, is a little bit silly.
Yeah, I found it like the other week.
Spending by country.
Oh.
When it comes to
South Sudan, Yemen, Ethiopia, Ukraine, 9 billion.
By sector. What sector is this?
What I want to know is why they haven't updated it yet for 2023.
Oh, they probably haven't gotten all like the numbers all tabulated yet.
Nobody's paying attention.
It's always delayed. Yeah. You went here and just looked at shit?
Yeah, just for like a little while I was going around, yeah.
All sectors, agriculture, banking, basic education. Jordan. Shout out to Jordan taking home the first place prize in basic education. Then Afghanistan. Wow. Lebanon. What else? What other? Conflict, peace, and security. Iraq. Oh, surprise, surprise.
These it's are, like all the countries, all the categories,
all the countries that we've bombed into oblivion. It's like we give the most for like peace and security. Like, what? Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what we did in World War II.
After we blew the shit out of
the entirety of Europe, we gave them a lot of money.
Environment protection, Colombia, Peru, Vietnam. Huh. What else you want to see on this?
I'm just shocked by like the number of countries that we're sending money to.
How many countries exist on the planet?
I have no idea. Do you?
That's how many we're sending money to. Oh, that was another thing we did.
Okay, 75. We're sending money to 75 countries right there. Countries in which U.S. aid invests.
We were talking about the World Cup and Terry was listing all the country names and trying to read them. Mm-hmm. And then we were like looking where they were on a map. That was kind of fun.
We have 75 allies.
These are not our allies though. That's the thing.
But we're paying for their governments. So these are all the democracies.
Afghanistan, Lebanon, Egypt.
This is the world that the democratic values as envisioned by dollar amounts.
All right, I got to take a break real quick, go to the bathroom.
Okay.
Sorry, folks. Stand by. We're back, folks.
Hello.
We're talking about collections.
That's right.
And what we like
Mike
to collect.
Mike has quite a collection of political...
It's not that much.
...literature. Well, I mean, it's enough to look cool.
Yeah. You know? I do.
Yeah.
I've been reading on e-reader.
I saw it, yeah. Do you like that?
So I, for the longest time, was a resistor...
As
am I. E-readers.
That's what I've been, yeah.
But lately I've been reading fiction.
Mm-hmm.
This fiction series that's The Expanse.
You know, series. I watched the first two episodes of that.
Yeah.
On Prime.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, last night actually.
You like it?
It was fantastic.
Yeah. It gets even better.
Okay. It's a little bit slow, but I like the universe that I'm getting into.
Me too.
To.
Me too. Yeah. Me too.
The universe is cool.
I like the CGI. It's
really
well done.
The UN owns Earth. That to me is just like the be all end all, like most incredible thing ever. It's like, this is what will happen.
Yeah.
You know? And actually, then, probably not. I don't think that's really.
Instead of countries, it's like planet governments.
Yeah. That to me is like the coolest utopia scenario, you know?
But anyway. So I've been reading, I'm on the fourth one now out of nine. I just been like really liking it because it's like got more information than the show.
Okay. So like at night, like when you get done like working,
you
like,
no.
instead of watching TV, you like read the book.
But also the reason I got the e-reader is because I been taking the books like, and I'll read on the ferry on my way to work and back.
Oh, okay.
And I've been, you know, it's the books are like huge. Mm-hmm. And like kind of heavy, not heavy, right, but like they take up a lot of space. And there was a couple of times where like my backpack was like full of shit. And I was like, I don't want to cram this book into here.
Right.
But then I got that e-reader because it's like super thin and lightweight.
Uh-huh. And I imagine the screen is like no blue light kind of a thing. Like really. Yeah.
And I can, the one I got has like, you can change to blue light to more warm light and stuff and turn that off and stuff, which is really cool. And I can just like chill. And there's buttons. You just sit back and you look at it. And actually it's nice to read. And you just hit a button. Next page. Next page. Like, it's almost like the pinnacle of laziness when it comes to reading. Mm-hmm. You literally don't have to hold a book.
But at the same time.
You can just like lean back with it like propped up on your leg. And you tap. Next page. Mm-hmm. And it's just.
But at the same time, like as far as like the standard goes, you're being not lazy actually. Because most people just won't read anymore.
I know.
Right? So you're actually being very not lazy.
And what I found is that while I still want to buy, because I bought the first three hardcover books in the series, even though I have them on the ebook thing.
Right.
Because I like to have them. But I found that this thing makes it so easy to read.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I'm removing any excuse I possibly have to not read.
Because you can do it as quickly as you would social media.
I can do it as quickly and as lazily as I want.
Yeah.
And therefore, I find myself reading more.
That's right. Make reading a bad habit. is what we should do. You know, make it like that nasty thing that you just can't stop doing.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's exactly right. And it's easy. You can just turn it on, do a chapter, hit the button, and it goes back off.
Right, because you can hold it like you hold your phone or a tablet.
Mm-hmm.
That's so cool.
It's great. Like, because I like hardcover books.
I never can find a good reading position unless I'm in bed.
Yes.
Right? So it's like...
But dude, even in bed, I've been reading like at night before I go to bed. Trying to, instead of like on my phone, like watching a YouTube video or something.
Yeah.
Dude, laying in bed, this thing with like the little bit of light, backlight, you can have like the lights dimmed down. You have to have like a light shining on your book, which I love at night.
Yeah.
And you just... lazy, like falling asleep, click, click, click. It's like move your arms to turn page. So good.
Yeah.
Anyway,
man,
I've been doing that.
Okay. I fell asleep while reading last night as well. But the thing with that is that, like, so you're on your side, you got the book like this.
Then you gotta like close, you gotta put a bookmark in and close it and like lift it up.
Yeah. Except for I didn't actually use bookmarks.
You just remember
the page, but see, you never do.
Wait, the thing. Do you like bend the page corner over?
I just try to remember it. And usually that's
really
that works if I come back the next day. But
I would never be able to remember.
Right.
Get yourself a nice little bookmark. I have a couple bookmarks.
Because it makes it easier to read to have a bookmark.
Yeah.
I should have one of those. Because like, I don't know.
They have them like for free at the library. Like little, thicker cardboardy, not cardboard, but like a thicker papery thing that they last a long time.
I'd probably just stick a piece of paper in there.
I got a library card.
Did you really?
Like a month ago.
Why?
Because I wanted one.
Did you like... Okay.
I was like, why don't
you
have
like
a
going
library
to scope
card?
Things out?
Yes.
Okay.
And like see what they had.
Yeah.
Because you can, in addition to like physical books, you can borrow ebooks onto your e-reader.
Oh.
Through the library.
So it is actually useful then.
So I bought a couple because it's more convenient because you have to like put them in a hold.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like, if there's a couple people, you have to wait like a month, which is annoying.
Yeah.
Which I don't like.
No, so you're not going to wait in some wait list for a month.
And so I just bought a couple of them. One of them I borrowed from the library to read, but then like the next one in the series I bought because I was like, I don't want to wait for the next one to come available.
Right.
But I wanted to try it out.
Mm-hmm. Do you have like a digital library?
Digital library. Yeah. You have like your books that you own. Yeah.
Okay.
Like a
digital
library.
So it's connected to like a service, a network. Or do you use like an SD card?
No. So if you have Amazon, if you do like Kindles, it's very like you can only own them through Amazon and you can't put them on another device, which to me was like not, I wasn't going to do that.
You like freedom of movement. So
I got a Kobo reader, which is a Canadian company, KOBO. And the format is EPUB, EPUB is the type of file.
Okay.
And so I buy them through their store on my device, but that type of file you can read. So like I could take my book that I own and put it on a different e-reader that supported that format.
Hmm.
Whereas with Amazon, they have like a proprietary format.
And you like that
you're locked
there.
In. Yeah.
Why pick the one you're locked in on?
I read the
podcast article you sent me.
Oh, podcast.
Yeah. I didn't understand a little bit of it.
Where do you get your podcast? Is it a radical statement or something?
Okay. Yeah.
Anil Dash.
Right. So is the gist of it, correct me if I'm wrong, that podcasts just are better because there's more liberty of movement when it comes to where you can move your audience.
Well, the word better is an interesting thing to say. Fundamentally, podcasting based on RSS feeds,
right,
which is like an open source thing, that's the beautiful part about it.
Okay.
Like the podcast, the name podcast is like, okay, whatever. It's RSS. The fact that that's like an open thing that anybody can host at any company, on any server, anywhere in the world, that's the important part.
See, I don't understand a little bit of it. So it says that like people can, being on an RSS feed, take their audience and move to a different platform. How does that work?
Well, so when an RSS feed, RSS is just like a text file that has certain things listed in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it says basically like instructions for how to find a certain feed. And it's an open source thing. So any app, any RSS reader or software, you can read an RSS feed, whether it's like a blog or a podcast or whatever.
Okay.
In any app at any time. And you can host your RSS audio, for example, or your blog text at any company in the world.
What do you mean at any?
For example, there's different hosting companies that handle the actual data, unless you want to host them yourself, which is can be a challenge if you've got lots of people listening to your content, because you got it. You're using not only their storage but their bandwidth for people going and pinging their servers to listen to your audio.
Right.
So they're just hosting it. But unlike YouTube or these big centralized companies, like they've got these algorithms. But if YouTube decides that they don't want you on their platform anymore, and you've got like 100,000 subscribers or 1 million subscribers, that just disappears.
Right.
The next
That's not how it works in a podcast app.
No.
They can't ban podcasts.
No.
Really? Because because of the way the technology works.
If a hosting company that hosts your podcast kicks you out, you just go to a different one.
Right.
And all your content is still there.
The content's still there.
Correct.
Right. So with YouTube, you upload videos. That's not how it works with podcasts.
You upload. Well, no. So
like YouTube actually has the video downloaded.
YouTube has
on its network.
You upload your video onto YouTube servers,
right,
and they own it.
Right.
With podcasting, you still upload your audio. Like after we're done recording every week, I or Terry mostly uploads the audio file after we lay it out or whatever to the podcast hosting company.
Oh, you do.
So we still do that, but
how's that different then?
It's different in that if the hosting company says, we don't want you anymore, we just change hosting companies. And our podcast looks the same to everybody who was listening to it before.
Right.
In the same podcast app they always listen to it in.
Okay.
Nothing looks different to them.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a bunch of these hosting companies. And there's a bunch of podcast apps.
The podcast, they can listen to you in the same app?
Yes.
Wait, sorry. So the hosting, I was thinking of the hosting company as the app.
Nope.
So when you say hosting company, you don't mean Spotify.
No. Spotify is
a hosting company.
But there's way more than Spotify.
Hmm.
And they're better. Spotify is not good.
So you can host your podcast through a different hosting company.
Yeah.
Upload your RSS feed to that hosting company.
Correct.
And then people can listen to it on Spotify.
Yeah.
Okay.
Huh. So if the current hosting company we use said, we don't want to host your podcast anymore, we just move it over to a different hosting company, and nobody knows anything happened ever who listens to the podcast.
Okay.
There's no interruption, no nothing.
Really?
They don't even have to resubscribe to anything.
Mm-hmm.
The same podcast app they're using before, no matter what it is, everything looks the same. They never knew anything happened.
What if Spotify bans your podcast from their app?
They can do that.
Yeah, but then people can't. Then people have to go to a different app and resubscribe.
But that's why Spotify is a shitty app for podcasts.
Because they'll do that.
Because they're like the big tech type people.
Gotcha. Okay.
But I would advocate people go to podcast app. I think it's newpodcastapps.com. Podcast. So all these apps are like open source apps.
There are a lot of them, huh?
That support like the new features in podcasting 2.0.
So which one are you going to move to?
Well, I use Podverse when I listen to podcasts.
That's a recent move, right?
I've been using Podverse for a long time.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
But
I know like a few years ago, you were still doing Spotify for podcasts.
Yeah. Until my eyes were opened.
It's a matter of principle though, isn't it? Because Spotify is convenient.
It's a matter of principle that I will not listen to podcasts on Spotify anymore ever again.
Yeah.
Period.
Mm-hmm.
So I can host
But you listen to music on Spotify just because it dominates.
Well, I might switch because Tidal changed their pricing to where they offer like super high end, their top features that were $20 a month, and they're now in their $11 a month plan.
Ooh, okay.
So I might, and now that Joe Rogan is not exclusive to Spotify anymore, I can listen to him on my podcast app.
Are you really like a true Joe Rogan? Like, do you like listen to every podcast you put out? Okay.
But I like to be able to listen to it if there's someone I like.
Yeah.
So like,
I only listen to Joe Rogan if he brings on somebody that I know.
So like, this is a podcast hosting company, Blueberry.
Okay. But you can also listen to the podcasts on an app they have.
They don't have an app.
They don't have an app.
Podcast apps and hosting companies are not the same thing.
I understand that. So are these apps or are they?
They're both.
They're both.
Meaning Blueberry is a hosting company.
Right.
Podverse is an app where you listen to podcasts.
Okay.
RSS Blue is a hosting company.
Right.
Fountain is a podcast app you listen to.
So this is a collection of both.
RSS.com is a hosting company.
That makes sense. Yeah.
So you can go to these different companies.
So this is a list of both hosting companies and podcast apps
that are supporting podcasting 2.0 features.
Okay.
Yes.
Very cool.
Yep.
It was an interesting article. I'd never been introduced to some of those concepts before. So
the idea is one company can't make it so no one can hear your podcast.
Right. Only the federal government can do that.
Yeah. I mean, the federal government can do a lot of shit.
A lot of stuff.
Yeah. So that's the idea behind podcasting.
I like it. Yeah.
Our podcast is hosted on a podcast hosting company's website.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I can listen to it on any podcast app. Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Any other questions?
No, that kind of settles it, yeah. So, in summary, podcasting is libertarian.
Podcasting is inherently decentralized. And it's existed for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm. How long?
2005-ish, I think. Something like that. Or earlier, I can't remember. Anyway, that's why I'm such a podcast maximalist.
I see that. Yeah, wow. And Terry just doesn't give a shit, right?
He doesn't have the same convictions I have or understanding that I have about these kinds of things. Partly because he's just not interested and doesn't care. And that's okay.
And that's okay.
And that's okay.
All and more
you know
power
what?
To him,
And
right?
you know what? That's totally fine with me.
Yeah. And you kind of respect that sort
don't
of
care.
Attitude
yeah.
as well.
I prefer
you?
People that way, actually.
Right. You'd prefer people that are like, you know, I'm
it's
not
okay
vote.
To not yeah. care about or know about certain things.
Yeah. In fact, most people should be that way.
Yeah.
Things would be better, you know?
Correct.
If all the white liberal women just, you know, maybe were a little bit more on the suburban housewife side.
Okay. All right. You have anything
true
else?
True fans. I would not name a podcasting
yeah, so
app true fans.
Some good apps that I would recommend. I've used Podverse. I mainly use Podverse.
What else is the coolest logo?
I have Fountain. I use Fountain sometimes. It's kind of good. I think I tried this one, Podcast Guru. I've tried Cast-O-Matic. I don't know. Yeah, I tried this one. I wasn't the hugest fan of that one. That's a good app if you're like an iPhone user.
I just don't like the logo.
Oh, Christ. But anyway, there's like all these apps and different companies and stuff, but yeah. I would recommend using a podcast app.
Are some
app
better suited
on this
for
list.
Apple, iPhone, iOS?
Some are exclusive to certain mobile platforms. I think Cast-O-Matic is iPhone only. Yeah, iOS only. But most of the time, it's both Android and iPhone.
Okay.
But anyway, I would say if you listen to podcasts, use one of these.
Yeah.
Once you check them out,
yeah.
you will realize that how many like cool features they have that these old apps like iTunes,
Apple Podcasts,
like Apple Podcasts,
okay.
like Spotify.
Apple Podcasts is kind of buggy.
Those apps are an afterthought for companies like that.
Right.
They don't care about them.
Right.
It's
whereas your initial impression would be that the big companies would have the best podcast apps, but that's not the case.
No.
Okay, which one should I download right now?
They're not incentivized to be on the bleeding edge of like the latest and greatest stuff.
Right. Which one should I download right now?
I would recommend, well, I like Podverse, but your mileage may vary. Cast-O-Matic you might like is a good iPhone one. I could try this one first. I think it has more of a simple user interface, one that you might be more familiar with. But the thing is, you just try a bunch of them and see which one has the layout and features you like.
That's kind of dope.
And you know what? Once you download an app and you have all your podcasts on it, you download a different one and you just import them all and they transfer all over.
So how does that work? Does it just, do you log in to
no,
something?
No login required.
What do you do?
I'll show you how to do it. Do you have, what podcast app do you listen to?
Apple Podcasts.
Okay. Yeah. I will show you how to import from that to the new app.
Okay. The thing is, it doesn't really matter right now because I listen to like 3 podcasts.
I know.
So.
That's okay.
Okay.
I'll just show you how it works though.
Okay. What's new in Cast-O-Matic 9? New audio engine. Many bug fixes. Value time split. Oh, there's a big button that says import. Big fat red button.
It's an OPML file. I think it's OPML.
Don't know what that means.
It's a format. It's like an open source format that basically, like I mentioned RSS feed.
Mm-hmm.
A podcast has a specific RSS feed. So right. Basically, there's this open source file format that says, oh, you're subscribed to this RSS feed, which is the Joe Rogan Experience. I now know what that is, and so I'm going to go pull it from the hosting company and put it on your new app for you.
That's dope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No account required.
Do you listen to a lot of podcasts? Do you have a few that you're subscribed to? For me, it's kind of just like...
I have quite a few.
Okay.
But I don't listen to them all the time.
Huh.
Yeah.
Lex Friedman?
I subscribed to him recently only because I saw he had Tucker on and I wanted to listen to him on the, so I did.
He did a John Mearsheimer 3-hour long interview.
Okay. That I think I good. Saw, I didn't listen to it, but I did see that he had him on.
Mm-hmm, that was good.
Yay podcasting.
I've been talking to my mother about Ukraine recently.
Yeah.
And so she's.
What does she know about Ukraine?
Well.
Probably doesn't care.
She cares a lot. Well, not actually. She's been getting more opinionated. And I only bring this up because it's just been kind of fun. But so Piers Morgan interviewed John Mearsheimer. And Piers okay. Morgan's entire, he's kind of like the other side. The people are like, well, maybe intervention is good because, you know, the world and people. And so the kind of the sentiment against the Mearsheimer position is that, Mearsheimer is like the only guy that you can cite.
He's not the only guy. He's just the smartest.
That's correct. Yeah. And then B, you can't believe Putin. Like, how could you trust Putin? Which to me is a little bit counterintuitive because they will say we can't trust Putin. And instead they'll go and like say the exact opposite. So whatever he says, it must be the exact opposite, which to me is kind of mind blowing. So it's mostly like, how can you trust Putin? It's kind of like the whole thing. Because all of Mearsheimer's positions are off of, you know, what Putin has said. And what's happened?
Well, everything Putin has said mm-hmm. that he would do, he then goes and does.
Yeah, right.
So it's like, I'm not trusting him.
Yeah.
I'm just, I have eyes.
Yeah.
That's all.
And so it's just,
I have eyes and ears.
Mm-hmm.
When Putin said, if you do this, I will do this.
Right.
I heard him say that.
Yeah.
And then we did that thing.
Right.
And then he did what he said he would do.
Did you see the speech by the General Secretary of NATO recently? Or the general secretary, or the secretary general, of NATO, he in a speech he said that Putin tried to get them to sign a treaty, like right before he invaded Ukraine, saying that they will not admit Ukraine to NATO.
And yes.
Then, and I quote, well, not quite, but I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah, yeah.
He said the
it's
secretary
just fun
general.
To say, and I quote.
Yeah, he said the secretary general said that Putin gave them this treaty as a
like a peace offering.
Basically, yeah. It was like, you know, do this and I will not you invade Ukraine is what he told them.
Yeah.
And then they were like, well, of course we didn't sign that. And so it's just
I heard
well, now
that
he's just
one.
Saying yeah. that, you know? Yeah. And so it's I insane. Showed this to some people in my poli-sci class.
Mm-hmm.
And
no, I don't,
like, nobody cares. It's like,
well, no one, nobody cares. Nobody knows. And why would they? They don't, they're lazy.
Yeah.
They're not incentivized to care or know. Mm-hmm.
But so I showed this to my mother and she was like, well, why would we sign a treaty with Putin? I was like, because we don't want war. And I was like, she was like, why would we tie our hands behind our back? And I was like, so that's kind of the attitude is like, yeah. You know, we can't trust him. You know, Russia's always been an aggressor, which not
it's quite
really.
The opposite, actually.
Right. I can see from my perspective, we're the aggressor.
Russia's been mostly reactive for the last 30 years.
Right.
Basically all reactive.
Correct.
So it's like, anybody who knows any of the history, it's like,
right.
Wait, what?
So I was talking to this guy in my poli-sci class and I said, you know, I don't buy that Russia is an aggressive power. And he sends me the war in the annexing of Crimea, the war in Georgia and the Ukraine war, like maps of the three and like the battle. He's like, my brother in Christ. And I was like, no, but you don't understand. Like they did these things for reasons. And Putin said what those reasons were. And their response to that is, well, you believe Putin? And I was like, it's the president of Russia. And then they wouldn't invaded the places they said they were going to invade. So it's like, there's kind of like a disconnect.
Well, he's just sending you anecdotes.
Right.
It is true that Russia went into Crimea.
Yes. And
that is a true statement.
Yes.
It is a true statement that Russia went into Georgia. That's
right.
True.
Mm-hmm.
It's true that, you know, all these things, but mm-hmm. it's like, there's no context behind those things.
Right. And so from their perspective, NATO has done everything it has done to try to prevent Russian aggression without actual war.
Mm.
And anything Putin says should be taken with a grain of salt, which it should be. But like at the same time, everything he said has been like correct. So
everything he said,
it's propaganda because he's the Russian president, but it has, you know, grounding in like reality. All the things he said, like the entire Putin Tucker interview, people are like, he was spinning history. It's like, sure.
I can't validate whether what he said was true about Russian history.
Neither can I, because I don't know any of that stuff.
But I do know that he seems to know more about Russian history than our political leaders seem to know about our history.
It's true.
He does seem like he knows something. Mm. Whether, I mean, you know, whether he's making it up or not, I don't know. But if Russia was supporting an opposition government in Mexico,
mm-hmm.
what would we do?
We would invade Mexico. We would invade Mexico. Like, so, oh, that's, and then the other thing was,
that's the simplest thing to tell somebody.
Right.
To say,
so
hey,
I said that.
Let's say Putin's a bad guy and has invaded those three places mm-hmm. and it was like aggressive and there was no provocation.
Right.
Maybe that's true. Granted that. But what would, like, think about it in their point of view. If we're like complete enemies of each other
mm-hmm.
and we're supporting this anti-Russian government in their neighbor, what would we do if Russia were doing that to Canada or Mexico?
Well, I think we would invade those places. You know, that's what I think we would do. So
it would be absolutely unacceptable to us.
Right.
So why would it be acceptable to him to have an opposition
and
government
this is like
in his neighbor?
Really clear logic, right? And so, so you know, you present this and you're like, well, all we had to do was say we would not accept Ukraine into our military alliance. And the response is, well, shouldn't Ukraine have a right to join whatever military alliance it wants?
That's not the real world. No.
And that's what I, you know, it's
the
like,
answer is no, the answer they is don't.
No, because like, so right now we are in alliance with Canada and Mexico, economic alliances, you know. And
does Mexico have the freedom and the right to be in any military alliance it wants?
And the answer is no.
And the answer is no.
Right. And so the question is not whether or not they should. Like, you can
the
make
answer,
an argument that they
correct,
should be able
correct.
To.
You nailed
but
it.
But they don't.
Correct.
Right. And
that's
so
right.
that's the whole point.
That's the essence of it.
Yeah.
Canada does not have the right to be in a military alliance with Russia.
No.
Should they? Maybe. They don't.
Yeah.
Period.
If you want to go like into rights, like maybe there are a lot of rights, you know, that you
sure.
could argue for, you know, but that's not
the
how
reality
we,
is they don't.
Right. And so, and for some reason we think we have a vested interest in Europe, and that's kind of like been like, you know, the,
here's the thing
of the last 100-something years, we've been thinking that way.
If there were like government coups in Mexico or Canada to install a like Russia supporting
yeah.
person,
mm-hmm.
it wouldn't even be a thought
mm-hmm.
and it wouldn't be a big deal.
No,
we would just go in
and do our own coup.
No. We would just kill them all.
Right.
It wouldn't even be like a war.
No.
We would just be like, it would not even be a thought.
Yeah.
It would be, oh, that's not going to happen.
Right.
We go in special forces and murder them all.
And all the media would back them up too, because
yeah.
it'd be like, well, Russia
yeah.
had this coup in this
yes.
place.
Yes.
And so now obviously we have to go in and kill the people who had the mm-hmm. coup. Like obviously. Right. But when Russia does it, it's like Hitler's on the march again,
mm-hmm.
you know? And of course that's the way they think. Cause like for most people, I feel like that are engaged in politics, on the left especially, and in like the foreign policy establishment, their only perception of history is like World War II. Like that's all they think of when they think of like Europe and international relations, politics.
Well, that was the last time the US were the good guys, supposedly.
Right.
Supposedly.
And like everything has to be based off that. Putin's on the march. It's like he was like really close to Kiev, and then like we were going to have a peace deal, and then he withdrew.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't want.
No.
But see, then when I say that, these people in my poli sci class, they're like, we pushed him out. I was like, no.
We didn't
push him.
Who's we?
And so.
The Ukrainians with our guns.
Right. I also find it really worrying. Well, you just realize that everybody that like you've read about was like correct again, because, you know, back during World War II, if Roosevelt could not go out and say like what he was going to actually do. Like he, you know, we were going to like lend them destroyers. He couldn't go out and say that. And if he did, there was public pushback because you couldn't do that because we weren't in the war yet. Right. Congress had to declare war. And so you just realize how far things have, you know, fallen or how far things have dissolved, where Biden can just go and sit or stand at the State of the Union and be like, we need to give them weapons.
Well, in some ways, it's similar in that back in World War II, it was the same in the sense that Roosevelt, maybe he didn't say that we need to do this.
Right.
He said, oh, we can't, or it's illegal or whatever.
Right.
But he still did it.
Right.
Like, he still was sending all the ships and doing all the aid stuff, just like we do now with Ukraine. It's all the same.
The thing is, he had to find workarounds. So, like, we pushed, like, planes across the Canadian border so that the Canadians could give them, like, to Britain kind of a thing.
Yes.
Whereas now, it's just, like, I think he said, we need to give Ukraine the weapons to fight Russia. Like, back then, that would have been
more blatant and more obvious.
That would have been a declaration of war back then.
I think it has a lot to do with public sentiment, though.
Mm-hmm.
When they feel like the public agrees with them,
right,
then that's when you see the actively just give them the shit.
Right.
Whereas maybe back in the day, it was not popular to support World War II, get into World War II.
Right.
So that's why they were being a little more
back then. If you said, you know, I will not send your boys to Europe, there'd be like, you know, there'd be applause, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, public sentiment was as it should be. So what's worrying now is that basically public sentiment is like...
Well, now, back in the day, it's like you were at risk of being in conscripted, like lots of people. Now it's like nobody's in the military anymore.
Yeah.
And all the people who support this shit don't have any skin in the game.
No.
Like, how about this? If you support sending shit to Ukraine, then you have to enlist your kid in the military and they have to go.
That'd be totally fair.
Against their will.
Yeah.
You still support Ukraine? Of course you don't. Because anytime there's any skin in the game, you don't want to do it.
Mm-hmm. As long as it's just money. But see, we can't conceptualize that.
No.
Right?
It's
so back then, it was like, you know, we need to pass another $10 billion for the war in Europe. So people were talking about, you know, Congress needs to pass more money during World War II. And what Garrett Garrett was saying and all the people around him was that money doesn't win wars, right? In the end. Mm-hmm. And so you can pass as many dollars as you want to, but it's, you know, people have to start working harder if we're going to win the war.
Only so many people can die.
Right. And so now, you know,
we can just drop bombs.
We can just, I guess.
We don't have to sacrifice
Well, you know, there's also the technological element, too, is that we don't have to sacrifice as many people. You know, we can just...
Well, not as many people die now in wars.
Right.
I mean, it's still the amount of people die is terrible, but you're not killing millions and millions and millions and tens of millions.
Right.
In
and
wars.
We also have a lower threshold, I feel like, for like, you know...
Yeah.
How many people were like willing to see die?
Yeah.
Like, as soon as like 1,000 people die,
that's right.
You know...
That's right.
That's like a really big thing.
It. Yep.
Whereas before, it'd be like, you know... You know,
it just had to.
It just had to. It had to happen. We're throwing bodies at each other. But I think we have a lower threshold for sure.
Undoubtedly.
Because, you know, if one person dies in Afghanistan, that's a big deal, right?
I guess.
I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, if like American soldiers die, like in the Middle East, like
it's a big news.
You know, it's big news.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, back in the day, it'd be like, you know, other 100,000 young American boys like perished, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess we didn't actually. We lost about 700,000, I think, in Europe.
In World War II?
I believe so, yeah. Russia lost like 20 million.
Yeah, Russia lost millions.
Like all of the people. Yeah, it was like most of the people that died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess French and British lost a lot.
Right.
Germany
per
lost
capita,
a lot.
Per capita, yes.
Yeah, per capita, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's very, like you watch the State of the Union and you just see it all materialized, everything you've been reading about.
Well,
you
here's
just
the
see
thing.
The modern material, you know.
Here's the thing with people that you talk to about this kind of stuff is you have to realize that most people including people who have strong opinions about it, don't know anything about it.
Right.
Most people don't care. They're in the best place. They shouldn't care and shouldn't know, really.
Right.
And that's okay.
That's okay as long as you're not like, you know, influencing.
But what you'll find is people who have an opinion, most of them have the same level of understanding as people who don't have an opinion.
Right.
Those are the problem people
who
think it's like important to have an opinion. It's not. It's okay not to have an opinion about it or anything really.
Yeah. As long as you're not
trying
to
not to know stuff.
Yeah.
But don't pretend like you do know stuff.
But don't wear a Ukrainian pin, you know, like. And you can maybe even you can do that. Just, you know.
You can wear a Ukrainian pin if you're Ukrainian. How about that?
Sure.
From Ukraine.
We could wear a Ukrainian pin.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. We'd be more justified.
Maybe.
But we don't know anything about the culture and we have no ties to it. So
that's true.
It does feel a little bit
disingenuous.
Yeah.
Yes.
So take that. Okay. So I am genetically like 20% Ukrainian, all right? And I think we should just let them all die. Actually, no, that's not correct. I don't want us to throw an entire generation of Ukrainian men at Russia. Actually, I'm the more sympathetic.
Yeah, it's the opposite. One.
It's actually the opposite.
Yeah.
You see, they think they're being empathetic, right? Whereas I'm like, you know, an entire generation of Ukrainian men has died for no reason, right? Somebody in the State Department decided this was in our interest. And because of that, an entire generation of Ukrainian men has died.
Correct.
So be that as it may.
What's the quickest path for no more people dying? Ceasefire.
Sign a deal
peace
with Russia.
Talks. Yes.
Yeah.
Ukraine, so that's why NATO. This is why I support this.
Yes.
This is not rocket science.
And so I was talking to this guy in my poli-sci class, and he was like, well, so I've realized now that your entire perception of the conflict is based off your idea of Ukrainian legitimacy, is what he said. And he said that he thought that my perception of this conflict stems from the fact that I don't think the Ukrainian government is legitimate. And I said, no. I said that, well, because for me, the government of Ukraine could be the most pure, awe-inspiring democracy on a hill, and I still would not want us to support them in this conflict.
Yes.
Because they're in Europe.
I don't care where they're at.
Right, sure. If they were in
Until I have completely gotten my neighborhood spiffed up perfect with all the money,
yeah,
I'm not going to worry about my town. And until my town is not spiffy and perfect, I'm not going to worry about my whatever state.
Exactly.
Until my state's all cleaned up and spiffy, I'm not going to worry about the country I'm in and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Priorities.
Mm-hmm.
What's near you? What can you control?
Right.
I can't do it all. I can't help somebody across the world until my neighborhood's cleaned up.
Right.
There's only so much time and money in the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is my answer. All right. I'm done.
Okay.
We'll wrap
there. Drive that
We've got shit to do. And I have to figure out how to upload this fucking podcast.
Are you having a hard time?
Normally Terry does it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, dang.
So we'll call it a day. Thanks for listening, folks.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for Tyler for filling in for Terry.
Of course.
Scumbag Terry.
Be back.
Goodbye.